Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back Rhode Island's 2nd District Congressman Jim Langevin. Thank you for joining us.
You bet, Ian. Good morning. Great to be with everyone.
Vice President Joe Biden came to East Providence last week to praise Rhode Island's bridge repair plan. Virtually all of the state's leading Democrats were there, all four members of the congressional delegation and Governor Gina Raimondo. But House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello and Senate President Teresa Piva-Weed were not there. Did you find that unusual, Congressman Langevin?
Well, I certainly would have loved to have had the Speaker and the Senate President there. They've been very supportive of infrastructure repairs and roads and bridge projects. I don't know why they weren't there and whether they had a scheduled conflict, but I was glad certainly that the vice president was there and glad he's focusing on infrastructure.
Does that suggest to you that legislative Democrats might be getting cold feet about roadworks with Republicans gearing up to use this as an issue in fall campaigns?
No, I don't think so. Everyone knows that Rhode Island, unfortunately, has the worst infrastructure in the country. Sadly, we are in desperate need of road and bridge repair. And it's very great that we're focusing on that. And certainly, we're going to do everything in terms of the delegation and bring federal resources back here to help in the effort to repair our roads and bridges.
Maureen, what's your explanation for why the Speaker and Senate President were not at this event featuring the Vice President?
My explanation is that they want to distance themselves at this point. They were critical in passing the legislation, and they have been supportive about it. But the Republicans are going to use this. They have to provide their members with some cover. There are going to be some contests because of it. This whole situation about tolls has been misrepresented, I think. People are convinced that once we get tolls for trucks, cars will get tolls. So they've got to protect their constituency. I think they did the right thing. I understand why they weren't there. In the end, they supported the legislation, but I think they're acting prudently.
Scott, the Senate President put out a statement saying her schedule did not allow her to be there for that event with the Vice President. Is that a little bit like the dog ate my homework?
Yeah, that or else the old tradition at the State House of all of a sudden, when a tough vote comes up, all of a sudden you have to have a bladder movement very quickly, and you're not in the chamber. I'm surprised, particularly with Speaker Mattiello, because it was his leadership that got this done. I mean, the governor rolled out a half-baked toll plan, as we know, 2 years ago. The Senate passed it. But it took Mattiello really to shape this thing and put it in some kind of shape. I don't think it's going to be that big an issue. Unless you own an 18-wheeler, nobody else is going to have to pay these tolls.
Let's go to some panel questions for our guest, Congressman Jim Langevin. Congressman, you're running for re-election to your 9th term in the Congress. If you win election and serve out your term, you'll have been in Congress for almost 20 years. What would you point to that you've done for Rhode Island on the economy in a tangible way?
Well, among the most important things, I continue to focus on closing our state's skills gap, which is not only a problem here in Rhode Island, but it's also a problem across the country. I'm also a big proponent of our national security programs here, Rhode Island, like our Virginia-class submarine program, also the Ohio replacement program that we're coming online.
Let me stop you there. I mean, wouldn't anyone who comes after you or before you be just as supportive of those kind of military programs?
Well, I know I can point to one thing that I had a direct hand in happening, and that's doing multi-year buys, bulk buys for submarines. It had never been done before in the history of the Congress. And I teamed up with then a Republican Rob Simmons, who's the congressman from Connecticut. But we changed the way we buy submarines. So we're ostensibly now going to be getting, we're going to get 10 submarines for the price of 9. And that's a direct hand that I had in enhancing that program. So Virginia class program, the Ohio replacement program, a vital national security platforms, we have to support them. I've also been a champion on cybersecurity. I know that's something that I have had a direct hand in, both in raising awareness on and doing more to try to close our vulnerabilities in cyberspace, among many things. And education goes along with that, encouraging our young people to go into that field for jobs.
Let's go to a question from Scott.
Turning to the national scene, do you really think there should be some changes in the way that Democrats nominate their president? Looking at the superdelegate situation, let's look at the small d democracy part of it. Bernie Sanders gets 55% of the vote in Rhode Island, basically a blowout over Hillary Clinton by about a dozen points. And yet, because of superdelegates and some other obscure rules, he may come out of here with an equal number or even less fewer delegates than Hillary Clinton. How's that fair?
Well, remember, in the primary day when it was hosted in Rhode Island, when Hillary and Bernie were on the ballot, there will be a proportionate share of delegates that will go to each depending on how well they did. And obviously, Bernie did very well in Rhode Island, so he's going to get the bulk of the delegates that are up for grabs. And remember, in the party rules were set up long before I arrived in terms of how the presidential delegate...
Okay, but is it time to change some of the superdelegate rules? For instance, keep elected officials as superdelegates and get rid of the party functionaries?
No, I think it's important to have everybody at the table. Now, I will say this. The party delegates, I understand the process. At the convention, the rules can be changed, and there may be an effort to not have superdelegates anymore. And that'll be up to the platform committee, up to the delegates themselves. And
how do you feel about that? Vote.
So I'm fine either way. You know, I'm acting under the rules that were set up, but I'm sure certainly that's going to be a discussion point at the convention coming up in July, as there always is. There's a review of, you know, what's working, what's not, and certainly there's going to be a discussion about whether the superdelegates are part of the process or not.
Do you have a quick question, Maureen?
Yeah, I do have a quick question. The question is, given the chaos at the presidential level, when the Congress returns, can you think of anything you can do better in terms of being able to perform as a body? The record on the Congress has been disgraceful. No matter what happens at the top, it's desperately needed that the Congress get together and do things together. And you just can't blame the Republicans. Can we try harder to get some functionality to the House particularly?
It all starts, I believe, with individuals. We all have to be working harder to come together as a country and do what's right for the country in terms of those things that are needed. And by the way, for the first time in a long time, at the end of last year, we actually had some real deliverables to talk about. It shows that the process can work. It does work when both sides are determined to come together and make a difference. First case in point, we passed the fixes to the No Child Left Behind Act and the Every Student Succeeds Act, and we fixed a lot of the problems in No Child Left Behind. We passed the tax extended bill, some 40 tax credits deductions that expired. Now we renewed them. Many of them made permanent. Also, the first time in 10 years that we had a long term highway funding bill.
So Paul Ryan has come through.
Well, a lot of that was Speaker Boehner on the way out cleared the decks on a lot of these things. But however it got done, the bottom line is it does show that the process can work if we work hard enough to come together in a bipartisan way. And by the way, on every major issue that I'm working on, whether it's cybersecurity, whether it's national security, whether it's job training, I can point to a Republican colleague on all of these things that I can work across the aisle with. And I'm always looking for bipartisan opportunities to fix problems and do it in a bipartisan way.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Congressman Jim Langevin.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.